In this session, I'm going to be covering two topics, form flow and application insights. So form flow. On a website, it's a very traditional requirement. You have some data you need to collect from a user. We all know about HTML forms. We've been using them for years to collect data from users. And that requirement doesn't go away when we're building bots. And you could use dialogues, which obviously you've been working with and James talked about before, to actually build up those questions and answers and have a user step through the questions. But what about things like conditional fields and validation? How do we actually build that up? And doing it with dialogues could really be quite time consuming. And thankfully, the bot framework team recognized this and they've given us a way to automatically create guided conversations around that forms scenario. So, pretty light on slides for this section, so I'm going to jump straight into a demo. So, I've got an example bot that I've ran and I've started a conversation with it. This is for a fake electricity company. And the idea is that the user has started off and they've said, my power's gone out. They've checked whether or not they're affected by a current power cut. It turns out there's no information about the power cut. And so we need to now collect some information off them to raise a fault report and send that to some sort of back-end system. So right now, the first question as part of the form, are your neighbors or their streetlights affected? I can answer no. And that's going to immediately then come back with the next question. So please enter name. Then please enter your address and so on and so forth. So the bot will now continually move through those questions until it's reached the end of the form and then it can submit. So getting started with this is super simple. And what I've shown you is actually really the sort of boilerplate implementation, if you like. So in exactly the same way that you would start a dialogue, the form flow is just a special type of dialogue. And all I'm doing here is I'm creating a new instance of my form dialogue and I'm passing in a fault report model, which I'll jump into in a second. And I'm creating creating that and saying I'd like you to call the build form method to define how that form is then triggered. And then I call it like I do any other dialogue with context.call. And the really nice bit about this is all my form report model needs to do is specify a number of properties on the class. So here you can see that I've got my neighbors or streetlight affected status enum. And then I've got my name and address. And by default, all you need to call is the form builder, the add remaining fields method, which basically says if you've not got any information stored against those properties, we want you to ask those questions. And then you call the build method. And by default, it will use the order of the properties within the class, and it will use the names of the properties to construct the prompts. So before you saw it said, please enter name, please enter address. That's how simple it is. And as we saw before as well in the example, we've got these options, yes, no, and maybe. So enums are supported here because you can see here I've got this neighbors or streetlights affected status. And it's just a simple enum, yes, no, maybe. And because I've specified that my property is of that type, the bot framework is intelligent enough to actually render out those buttons. But this particular scenario is not that compelling from a user experience point of view. From a developer perspective, it's great because we can get a form up and running and start to move through those questions. But how do we then improve on that? How do we maybe change the labels on those prompts? So we just stop the bot and remove that model. Those of you who've worked with systems like Entity Framework in the past will recognize this. So if we find this one. So as you can see here, all I'm doing is decorating the properties with various attributes. So the prompt attribute, for example, allows me to override the prompt that's being used by the form builder. And if I run this bot now, I would see exactly the same behavior, except instead of saying, please enter name, it would say, please enter your full name, or what's your full name. And we also have the ability for enums to specify the choice type. So obviously there's various different ways. We could write out just text, we could do buttons. Buttons are the default, but you can override that as well. But what if you don't want to do things like accept the default order that are being asked for, or you might want to carry out some sort of process on completion, maybe call into a CRM system or some other third-party system. So, and that's where the chaining comes in. So here, instead of simply calling add remaining fields and build, we're actually able to specify a welcoming message. So as soon as this form starts, we can give the user a message and say, here's the information that we're going to be asking from you and why, give them some context. And then we can actually specify the order in which the fields are being asked for. So we're overriding that default behavior. But again, this takes literally 5-10 minutes for you to actually set up, and it's something that's gives you a lot of benefit in terms of, you know, if you were building it yourself using Dialogues, it would take a lot longer. Another really good example here is we're asking the user what their preferred contact method is. And then for the following two fields, contact number and email, we're actually saying, I only want you to make this field active. So I only want to ask that question if the preferred contact method is SMS or phone for the contact number, or is email for the email address. So previously, before I had this, when I was using the add remaining field and build method, it would have asked every single field regardless. Whereas now, once it's asked me my preferred contact method, it's either going to ask me for my contact number or my email address, which is really helpful. We can also customize a confirmation message as well. So by default, you will get a confirmation from the bot framework, but it's not the best in terms of its language. You probably want to override it and give it your bot's tone of voice. Tone of voice is really important when we're thinking about bots and user experience. So here I can override the confirmation message. And then I've got this on completion method as well. So here's where I can call out to another method and say, well, actually, once that's been completed, here's what I want you to do. And what you actually get passed is a copy of your fault report, a copy of this class with all of the properties completed. And then you can go and do that with that what you will, in exactly the same way that when a form gets submitted on a website, we need to do something with that. Same thing applies here. And finally, the ability for us to use enums. So you saw before the enum in the example, yes, no, or maybe. One of the other options that I've got is the ability to ask them their preferred contact method, as we mentioned earlier, telephone, SMS, or email. Now, out of the box, you would either have to click one of the buttons that it presents to you, or you would have to type telephone, SMS, or email. But that's not necessarily the best usability. Because a user might say, text me or call me. You know, we want to make these conversations as natural as possible. So what we're able to do is actually decorate our enum properties with an attribute, the terms attribute. So here I'm saying for telephone, if the user types phone, mobile, call me, ring me, phone me, then it recognizes that term is what they're looking to do. And it will set that property to telephone. So again, this is it's a small thing, and it takes 30 seconds to implement, but it's really, really useful when you're building up that natural conversation. So that's form flow. Moving on to the second topic for this session, application insights. And this is something you all need to be thinking about when you're building bots. When we build a website, everybody by default plugs in Google Analytics and tries to get some data and some telemetry from that website. We use that data then to improve how the website works, and improve the, you know, maybe we're seeing, you know, lots of searches for content that doesn't exist on the website. We'll go away and we'll add that content. In exactly the same way, we need to be gathering the same data for our bots. And thankfully, with Application Insights, that's really easy to do. And what it allows you to do, and many of you may have worked with Application Insights with other projects, it doesn't have to be a bot. It works with any .NET or Node application. You can use it across your project. And it sends telemetry to a portal within the Azure platform. And you get a lot of things out of the box. So you get performance information, request time, so you can actually see how well is my bot performing. If you're calling out to a third-party service, you can see how long the dependencies are taking to you know, return a response and diagnose maybe slow bot performance. And that's, you know, really crucial. You know, straight away, if you've got a bot that's not replying, you know, fairly instantly, people are going to start to get pretty frustrated with that, and you need to do anything you can to improve that latency. We get exceptions as well. So obviously a bot is a fairly closed thing, And if there are exceptions happening, you need to know about it. And by default, once you've plugged in App Insights, you're going to see those exceptions raised in the portal. Super simple to add application insights into your project. Within Visual Studio, just right click on the project and click Add Application Insights Telemetry. And what that's then going to do is walk you through registering an Application Insights instance in Azure, and it will then add the various packages that it needs to the bot. So how can we then use that? So as I said, you get a lot out of the box without you needing to do anything. But when we're talking about bot conversations, we might want to be, you know, if we're using Lewis, we might want to track what intents are being hit and when. We might want to track which users, how many users are talking to the bot, and what's the context around that. So within dialogue here, which is my global sort of root dialogue, I've created two methods. So message received. So every time somebody sends a message to the bot and it's handled by this root dialogue, I'm actually creating some trace and sending that up to the App Insights portal. And I'll make this code available afterwards, but it's really, really straightforward. All I'm saying is I want you to add some trace into the portal, and then I'm using an extension method on the iDialog context, where I'm saying I want to pass in the message that's been received and serialize that and pass that in. But also, more interestingly, by default, every single time we raise one of these events, or we raise an exception, or we raise some trace, what we're actually doing is serializing the conversation data, the user data, which are all part of the sort of the bot state, and we're storing the conversation ID and the user ID as well before we send that off to App Insights. And what that means is whether we're raising trace or we're raising events, we can then actually dive into our telemetry and narrow down an experience just to an individual user or an individual channel or an individual conversation even, which is really useful. I'm also calling a method called store intent telemetry. So whereas here I'm raising a trace, here I'm actually raising an event. So I'm saying an intent has been hit, and I'd like to store the event intent triggered within the Azure portal, which I'll show you in a second. And along with that, I'm adding my own custom properties specific to this event. So I'm saying, I want you to take the name of the intent and send that off with this data. And I also want you to send the score for the intent. So Lewis returns a score as to how confident it is that the top intent is correct. And it's really useful to store that information and then maybe drill into it later on. So I've created this method, and then every single time my dialogue hits a particular intent, so in this case the non-intent hasn't matched any, I'm storing that intent telemetry, just passing in the context and the result, and it's sending that data off to the portal for me. And what does that look like? So this is an example of the App Insights portal running for this bot. So straight away I can see the various requests that are coming in to the bot. But also I can then drill into that, and here you can see the various intent triggered, the various events that I'm capturing. So there's been four instances of intent triggered recently, and four instances of a user checking the current incident. So you can liken these events to goals within Google Analytics. So setting up this logging throughout your application, then allowing you to really drill into it. And I'm not going to dig into the portal, but I would encourage you to spin up App Insights, tie it into your bot, and then go and have a look around. There's plenty of blog posts and videos out there showing you how to use the portal. And you can even use the Application Insights Analytics portal, where you can write your own, you know, full-blown queries against all of this data and drill down to say, you know, for this particular user, show me all of the, you know, intents that they've triggered or the events that they've triggered over the last 6 months. It's a really, really useful service. And again, just like I did last time, just want to call out just a few resources that are available. So please check out my blog if you're interested in any of the sort of content that we've talked about today. Reach out to me on Twitter. Always happy to help. And then there's some Microsoft specific links over here. I really would encourage you all to look at the bot builder samples in GitHub. The number of them is growing all the time, and they cover, you know, everything that we've spoken about and a lot more. So they're really, really useful. I know some of the guys took one of those samples this morning to get them going, but you know, there's a load of really good nuggets. benefits in there as well. So thank you very much.